There's a story that came to mind earlier, and I may have mentioned it to y'all once before, but in case I haven't, for those who haven't heard it, there was a teacher years ago in this old country school in South Louisiana trying to teach math to her kids, and they didn't quite grasp it, so she decided to use imagery that they were familiar with. And so she says to one little fellow, she says, "Okay, T-boy, I'll put it to you this way. If you have 5 sheep in the pen, and there's a hole in the fence, and one gets out, how many do you have left?" He thought for a second, and he said, "None." She said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, don't you think if you had 5 sheep in the pen, with a hole in the fence, and one escaped, that you'd have 4? He said, "No." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, you might know your math, but me, I know my sheep. And if one's gone, they all gone." And that's absolutely true. Which is why the scriptures kind of refer to us as sheep sometimes, because we tend to follow one another, even if it means to our own destruction, and we don't always follow the right way or the right path. Why it is, I don't know, but we just sometimes do that. I was thinking back earlier, too, how several years ago, when I was kind of going through a little dark period in my own spiritual life and decided to kind of step out of active ministry for a while and kind of think about what God wanted me to do, I began to receive phone calls and mail and even some visits from a few different people, all of them non-Catholic, but some of them were former Catholics. Some had drifted away to Baptist church or Pentecostal church, and even some Episcopalians, and some of those who call themselves traditionalist Catholics, who don't like the Mass the way it is now, who reject all the reforms of Vatican II, who go back to the old way. But there was something common about all these people who had left the church. They all wanted me to join them. And they were inviting me to their services, leave the Catholic Church behind. They said, "Oh, there's so much better here. You know, you could be married, you could have a family, you can serve us," on and on. You know, there's not as many rules, there's not as many regulations, this, that, and the other. And it was just kind of absurd, the way that it was all happening. I just had a very uneasy feeling about it. Especially when I began to compare what they were doing, what they were saying, with the fact that there were so many good and faithful Catholics who loved the Church, who loved the Eucharist, who were quite simply very sad. Very sad. And this is even with some Catholics who were not very deep into their faith but were still faithful. But they were genuinely sad and sorry to see that a priest was stepping out, even if it was just for a short time. And I had to ask myself the question, why? Why was there sadness on this one hand, but why was there almost like this sinister joy on the other hand when the priest was leaving? So we understand that Satan hates what God has created. Satan hates what God has made good. And we always know that Satan hates Christ. He hates the body of Christ, the church. He hates the priests who bring the Eucharist to us that makes us the body of Christ and who forgive sin. He hates everything that God has done and tries to destroy it by dividing it. Not to use the words we've heard in military circles over and over again, used by Hitler himself, to divide and conquer. That's what Satan wants to do, to divide and conquer. It happens from the very beginning. Now, with all of that, of course, comes disorder and chaos, agitation. But let's look at peace and see what God says about peace. St. Augustine describes peace as the tranquility that comes from order. That peace is the tranquility that comes from order. God puts things in order. Satan, on the other hand, puts things out of order. With God comes peace, with Satan comes chaos and distraction. So sin is there to divide us. It's there to divide us from God, to divide us from one another. And we see that from the very beginning. So God and man, God and his creation, all of it divided so that Satan can conquer. But we know that Jesus himself, in his person, comes to unite both God and man. Jesus is both. He's a divine person, that's the word of God, but he brings together humanity and divinity in himself. As St. Paul explained in the second reading from Ephesians, "In Christ Jesus, "You who were once far off," that is, divided from God, "have become near by the blood of Christ. It is Christ who is our peace. He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity." That's what all this division is. It's enmity. See another word for it. "And he does this by becoming man, through his flesh, by establishing peace, reconciling us in himself, in his person, on the cross. He would create in himself one new person, that is, his body, the church, in place of division, and establish peace, reconciling both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it." And that's what Jesus does. In his body, he destroys death. By his resurrection, he restores life. He restores that unity. Christ himself is not created, but begotten and of the same substance as the Father. But Christ, through his humanity, brings us into communion with God and gives us a share in that divinity to bring us back and restore what we lost by that division from God. Christ leads. We must follow. But sometimes we don't. We rather follow ourselves or false leaders rather than Christ, who is the supreme shepherd. As Isaiah says, like sheep, we go our own way, doing our own thing, and we remain divided. Divided and at odds, at enmity with God. Divided and at enmity with others. And divided amongst ourselves and within ourselves. Is this what God wants? No. Christ prayed that we would all be one, of one heart, one mind, to be one body, one spirit, united together, shepherding one another into a closer relationship with God and bringing others outside the fold back into the faith, that there can be, as St. Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Lord of all and who is Father of all. Now, very sadly, at a time in history when we see lots of people who are coming into the church all over the world, and we do, we also see in other parts of the world people leaving the church. It's almost like a mass exodus of people leaving. And where are they going? Well, some of them, as those I mentioned a while ago, are going to other denominations. Some go to no denominations at all. Others just give up on religious faith altogether. And, of course, they give their kind of flimsy reasons. Well, I don't like this, or I don't like that. I prefer this, I prefer that. This suits me better, or I don't need all that stuff. There are others who have a hatred or a hostility toward the church, because the church is at odds with their own personal way of thinking, their own agendas. And with all that, what do you have? It's division. It's chaos. There's a cacophony of opinions out there. Everybody's saying their own thing, speaking their own mind, trying to influence others. And what happens? We have chaos and confusion, which leads to disbelief. And with that disbelief comes anger and even deeper divisions. Genesis tells us that before God puts things in order, there was nothing but chaos. But then God says what? Let there be light. And once the light was established, everything began to have a perfect order and harmony by the command and the will of the Father. God restores order with light and with truth. So we can run away from it if we try. We can run from the truth. We can try to hide in the darkness all we want. Hide in the darkness of falsehood. But the light always prevails. Truth always wins. God always wins. So, whom do we follow? Do we follow the one who simply tells us what we want to hear? Do we follow the false prophet or the false preacher who tells us that everything is about Christ, as Jeremiah warned us in the first reading, but is really serving his or her own ego, and it's all about themselves? Or do we follow those who will simply give us what we want, but do not give us what we need? Sadly, we've forgotten the meaning of true faith and what it means to be a Christian. Jesus says, if we would be his disciples, we must take up our cross and follow him. This is how Christ reconciles. As St. Paul said, he reconciled us to God, making us his body, the church, through the cross. That's how Christ reconciles, only through the cross. Salvation is found only through the cross. We are to take up our cross, the Savior says, deny ourselves, deny our own will, deny our own way of doing things, and focus totally on what Christ says. Deny ourselves and follow Him. Sometimes it's not going to be fun. It can't always be described as totally awesome. It might not even be thrilling or exciting, and sometimes the cross is not going to pump us up and bring us to some state of euphoria. But I will guarantee you this: the way of the cross is the way to peace, and it will restore peace in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. With that peace, with that tranquility that comes from order, with God and doing His will, we find that we're going to have a joy that is unlike any other. With that joy comes a wisdom that surpasses all human understanding. It's about Christ and about God and given to us by Him, and is not about us. As St. Paul continues, He came and He preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. I've often wondered why it is that sometimes people who have left the church, when they see me, are eager to come and tell me, you know, I used to be a Catholic. Okay, come back. Come back. But why do you have to tell me this? And why is it that some people are so eager to entice a struggling priest to leave the church? Or some are so eager to entice a struggling Christian to leave the church and follow them? It's because deep down inside they know through baptism that we're called to truth, that we're called to unity. And that can only happen in the way that Christ has done it, by His sacrifice that we celebrate every Sunday and receiving the Eucharist that binds us to Christ and binds us to one another. Maybe it's partly challenge that they say this. Maybe it's partly defiance. But maybe there's also a tinge of guilt and a search for truth in darkness. As I said, we're here to shepherd one another as we're being shepherded by Christ. That we are to lay down those divisions and to pray for unity. That we can all be one as Christ Himself, as the Trinity is one. To pray for the unity of all Christians. To pray for the conversion of non-believers, to pray for those who have left the church and left the Eucharist, that we can be of one heart and mind, to be united in faith, in hope, and in love, and by doing so become a light to all the nations as we live in faith and truth. Jesus says, come, follow me, and through my truth, through my peace, I will give you rest.